Today is a time where that when we come together as a body of believers, we come and knowing that Christ is with us, Christ is for us, and to know that our God is not against us, but He loves us and He is wanting us to know more about Him. And how is the only way for us to know more about Him is what? To come to church, to listen to God's Word, to sing about our Lord and Savior, and to know that God is with us every step of the way. If you have your Bibles today, and if you don't, there's a Bible in the pew. It'll be projected on the screen. We want to go to the book in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. Ephesians 16 and 6 and 16, and we want to look at this. And we are looking at a series that I have been doing now for the past few weeks, Rooted and Rising. And so we want to look at this a little bit because we're looking at how we can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, we grow through prayer, we grow through the reading of God's Word, we grow by hearing what God is saying to us by the Word of God, in the Word of God, and through the Word of God. And so we want to look at this, and today, my title today is Grow Through Battles. And every one of us, we go through some type of battle in our life. You might be going through a battle today. You may not be going through a battle today. But I know as time goes on, there will be something that you will come across in your life that will be a challenge, and how that we need God to be there in our challenge. And so we want to look at this, Grow Through Our Battles, Part 2. And if you missed Part 1 last Sunday, you can go to our website, to www.vfclexington.org, and go into our website there, and you can click on into media, and you can see the series, and you can pick up where you've missed, and you can also get that through Spotify, and I think another app you can get through that as well. I can't remember, but there's some other ways that you can actually hear the audio and see the video as well. But to give words of encouragement to you. So let's look at this today. Growing Through Our Battles, Part 2, Ephesians 6 and 16. Above all, God's Word says, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, but in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want us to look at this here a little bit, because the word definitely challenges us for us to grow in the Lord. But for us to grow in the Lord, we must put on the whole armor of God. And we're talking about the armor spiritually, not physically, but spiritually, putting on the armor of God. And so let us look at this a little bit as we see that to put on the whole armor of God, we know the enemy, Satan himself, we have got to make sure that we fully put the armor on. Because we know the enemy, the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan and demons and all that he has, is out to try to kill, steal, and to destroy us, because I've said it and will say it again. He doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to read our Bible. And I want to go a step further. He doesn't even want us to come to church. He would rather stay away from all of this, because he doesn't want you to know anything about the Lord Jesus. But Jesus has come to save, to heal, to help us get through the life which we live right now. And so when we look at Ephesians 6 and 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, with which we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." And I want you to know today, by putting on the whole armor of God, we can't just put some of the armor on, and we just can't put the armor on when we hit the battle in our lives. A lot of times we want to set the armor to the side and pick it up when things come our way. We have to be prepared before the battle comes to us. You know, I go in and I look as military. My father was in the military, fought many, many years ago, fought in World War II, and fought a battle. And he always shared with me, he said, "Son, you've got to be prepared before the enemy strikes. You can't just pick up equipment to fight against the enemy. You just can't put on all the armor on and then begin to fight. You've got to be prepared before the enemy strikes." And so today, spiritually, we've got to make sure the armor is on us, because we don't know when the enemy might strike. And I'm talking about spiritually. We don't know when things that we deal with in life, with circumstances, with situations, things come our way. So we need to be prepared. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you become prepared?" Well, you know what? We've got to communicate with the Lord. We've got to pray. We've got to share with Him. And you may say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not a pastor. I can't pray the these and the thous and all that." Listen, it's not about the these and the thous. It's about just having communication with the Lord. The Lord just wants to hear your heart. You say, "Well, Pastor, He already knows." But you know what? He may already know, but He wants to hear it from you. He wants you to express what you're feeling and what you're going through and what you're dealing with, because He's there to help you even in the eye of the storms of your life. And I thank God today that He has equipped us, He has prepared us, that we not only see the armor from a distance, that we not just see it as it is, but we literally can put on the armor of God, because guess what? The battle is not yours. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. It is He. David in the Bible, as a shepherd boy, fought against the big tall Goliath that he could not fight, but he knew he couldn't do it physically, but God gave him the strength with a smooth stone, and he hit him between the eyes and took the giant out. But it wasn't just David, but it was God giving him the strength to take the enemy out. So therefore, we must take the enemy out by putting on the whole armor of God. The Bible goes on and says in Ephesians 6 and 18, "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So prayer is very vital. Prayer is very vital. We need to communicate with the Lord through the power of prayer. I want you to know today, half dressed is going to be half the battle. Full dressed is going to be completing on the full battle. God clearly lets us know that we must girdle up with truth. We must have the breastplate of righteousness, the preparation of gospels, of the gospel of peace, letting us know that we must be ready for the battle. And yet we must rest and know that God is with us in fighting the battle. My first point today I want you to know is the shield of faith. We've got to have the shield of faith. Ephesians 6 and 18, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. In other words, when things come our way, it is not for us to throw our hands in the air and quit. It's not for us to go into a panic attack, but it is for us to follow out in faith and say, Lord, the battle is yours. It's not mine. I'm going to trust you. And I know, God, you're going to take care of me every step of the way by putting that shield of faith. What does a shield do? A shield reflects. A shield is a protection. As we see even in Roman days, in Bible days, how that Roman soldiers would have lengths of shields to protect them from all of the arrows and those things that would come against them. They had these shields. Well, again, the Apostle Paul lets us know that he shows that by putting on the armor, you're able to withstand the things that come your way. So the shield of faith is having the faith and say, I can't do this within myself, but I know who can, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He can fight our battles. There are two things that strike us immediately. We are under attack by fiery darts every day. Faith is the most important part of the armor, because the Bible says, above all, putting on the whole armor of God, knowing that you are to have the shield of faith. There are two types of shield used even in that day. As I shared with you, there is a large shield that you hide behind, and there's a small shield to move about. So there were two shields back in those days, even in the Roman days, is that you have one shield that you're able to get behind, and then you have another shield that you're able to maneuver around. And so having that shield brings protection. You know, the Bible clearly lets us know that we are to guard our hearts. Our hearts can deceive us sometimes, but we must understand that we must guard our hearts, because God is the one that we are looking to for the strength that you and I need. I want you to know that Satan will send those fiery darts. You may say, well, Pastor, what are these fiery darts? Well, it can be darts of discouragement. It can be darts of distraction, because he doesn't want you to know more about the Lord. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to read your Bible. He will distract you by other things. And when you're looking at other things, he'll keep your attention. And so what you have to understand is to know, as God's Word says, we must know his devices. We must know what he's up to. Because we know he's not up to anything good, because he's the father of lies, and we've talked about that. And how that he will try to deceive us, but we know that the Lord is faithful in taking care of his own. The shield of faith is so effective, it will quench every fiery dart that comes your way. Faith can overcome every attack of the enemy. Let me say that again. Faith can overcome every attack of the enemy. Darts can be darts of pride. It can be darts of envy. It can be darts of worry. It can be darts of fear. It can be darts of lust. It can be whatever the enemy tries to distract you from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he doesn't want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. He wants to keep you away. If he can keep you away, keep your family away, if he can keep you distracted, that's why we must have the shield of faith to know that God is with us every step of the way. The power of faith, we see that even all through God's Word, how that those that went before us had faith in God. My second point today is this: the helmet of salvation. We must put on the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6 and 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible lets us know that in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God and dwelt among us. So we know that God is the Word, and that we must have the Word in our hearts and in our lives. We know this has to do with the head, the home of the mind. That's why that we must understand that as we guard our hearts, we are to guard even our minds, because we know that we hear a lot of different things. We see a lot of different things day in and day out. And so we have to understand that the helmet of salvation must be placed on us so that God can help us in what we hear, in what we say, in what we do. The home of the mind. A no-so, that we understand what salvation is about. It is the assurance of salvation to enable us to stand against the enemy. How can we stand against the enemy? We must be reassured that through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can stand strong in Him, because we know that the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. Consider when the Apostle Paul said with this, with assurance, he's speaking boldly. Ephesians 6 and 20, he says, "For which I am as an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." You know, we are going now in a few weeks, as we have seen the tragic loss of Charlie, and we have seen things and we have heard things, and yet we find clearly that he became one of the martyrs of Christians. And we know that he contended for the faith, and we know that he loved his Lord, and yet we know that he was sharing with others about the Lord because he wanted them to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, a lot of times we know that persecution may come our way when we stand for the truth and when we stand for what is right. But guess what? God will be with you and I through everything that we do, because he says by putting on the helmet of salvation, we have the power in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that Jesus will continue to be faithful in everything that you and I do. I am reminded that D.L. Moody said this, "I never knew a person who was effective in the Lord's service who did not have assurance of his salvation." And to know Jesus is to know Him and to make Him known unto everyone that we come in contact with. My third point today is this, the sword of the Spirit. As we see the helmet of salvation, knowing that we are saved by grace and the Lord has come into our hearts and our lives, and we've got the helmet on, then we have the sword of the Spirit. I want you to know today, the enemy does not like the Word of God. Satan does not like the Word of God. He knows how powerful the Word is. Because the Bible says that the demons even believe as you and I believe, and the Bible says, and they tremble because they know how effective the Word is. They know how powerful the Word is. So in our armor of God, that's why the sword of the Spirit has to be first and foremost in our lives on a daily basis, for we need that to continue to be the servant, the disciple that we need to be by using and having the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The one of an offense weapon in the armor that we have. It is an offensive weapon. The weapon Jesus used against Satan in the temptation, as we see in Matthew chapter 4. You see, Satan came to Jesus after he went through a fast of 40 days and 40 nights. And he came to him at a vulnerable moment of time of hunger, because he was human just like you and I. And he had to eat and drink with food. And he had not had that. So the enemy came to him. And what did Jesus do? He hit him with the Word of God. He began to let him know. And the scripture that he used was in Deuteronomy 8 and 3. And so he kept telling Satan, as Satan kept offering him all of these things, if you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus is saying, no, I will not live by what you're saying. I will not live by every the bread that I eat, but I'm going to live because of my Father in heaven, and God is going to help me through this process. He continued to share with the enemy the Word of God. So if our Lord and Savior shared the Word of God with the enemy, then therefore we must understand that we've got to have the Word of God so that we can hit the enemy when he comes our way. The Word is very powerful, and guess what? The enemy does not want us to have the Word of God. To be used to conflict with the devil, David's weapon for keeping a clean house. This is what the psalmist David writes in Psalms 119 and 9. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. David knew this clearly, that he knew that he had to fully surrender to the Lord. And how that he could cleanse his ways is by submitting unto the Lord and knowing that He is there for us every step of the way. David knew that God was for him. God was not against him. All God was asking is you fully surrender. And that's what God is asking us today. He is saying, I just need you to fully surrender to know that I am your God. I really do believe that God shows us through nature. He shows us through life. He shows us through struggles that we deal with circumstance. I mean, all of these things, God lets us know, hey, if you will fully surrender unto me, I will make what you're going through much easier. Doesn't mean that he's going to knock it completely out and take it away from us, but he said he'll put no more on us than we can bear, but he would make a way of an escape. So to know him is to make him known and to know that God is with us every step of the way. We never know the impact of even one text when we see this, as the Lord says that he will be with us every step of the way. The power of God's word over the enemy is great. And knowing that when we can go to the word of God, knowing when we can share the word of God, it is so powerful because the enemy does not like the word of God. And so we must understand that God is with us. The summary of it all is the armor. We have to have the whole armor. Not some of it. Not part of it. Not when things hit us in the wrong way and then put the armor on. We've got to put the armor on before things come our way. Praying always. Praying always. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is the communication line from headquarters. Prayer is the communication line from headquarters. What's headquarters? Heaven. Heaven is our headquarters. And prayer is vital. We must communicate with God. Just as you communicate with your husband, as you communicate with your wife, your girlfriend, your children, your co-workers, your boss, your places that you go, you have to communicate. It's either speak it out verbally or sign language or whatever. You're still communicating. You still have to communicate in this life. And so we must understand that we need to communicate with God on a daily basis. And that we will be what God would want us to be. Not what the world wants us to be, because we live in the world, but not of the world. But what are we doing? We're living for the Lord. And we want to take our families. We want to take our friends. We want to take our loved ones to heaven. Prayer is needed for victory. Yet onward Christian soldier, marching on to war with the cross of Jesus, we can make it all. And we must be the soldier that Christ has called you and I to be. And he is asking us to be the soldier, to be the disciple, to know that he's with us every step of the way. If you would stand with me across the building today. God